duties, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation through a series of radio broadcasts known as the Fireside Chats. His aim was to reassure the common man that our society would recover from its troubled times. But we're far from 1930, and I deal with a different kind of far. For a new era of worldly frustration, we offer a fresh conversation. I'm Greg Carlwood, and these are the Fireside Chats.
Folks, welcome to the show. It's been a while since the last THC. That's because I spent the past few months learning how to make a decent website. So now, if you go to thehiresidechats.com, you'll see I try to put up the best news stories of the day. There's also the podcast, of course. There's forums, so, you know, people are talking. If you want to talk about some crazy conspiracy stuff, that's a good place to do it. But I had a great time talking to Jordan, Lily, Tyler, and Tori, who are four of the eight or so members of the Spirit Science Council. And we had a great chat. So here it is. Boom. Hey, folks, I'm here with Jordan. He's the creator of Spirit Science and the Spirit Quest web series. He's got the whole Spirit Science crew with him. Guys, say hello.
Hello.
What's up in your town?
I'm also here with Kyle, friend of the show. You've seen him before. He's been on here plenty of times.
Hello.
Hey, Kyle.
If you guys out there haven't seen Spirit Science, it's one of the most clear and concise methods of exploring pretty much all the ideas of the alternative community, meditation, chakras, astral projection, crop circles, 2012, Atlantis. It's all great stuff. And it's one of my favorite web series, but the first one is Thoughts, which basically breaks down what you'll hear all the time, which is that your thoughts manifest your reality, which is an idea that you guys are actually living out and demonstrating with the Spirit Quest videos. So, I mean, let's start there. How did Spirit Quest start, and where is it at now?
Spirit Quest started last year, I guess. It was actually August 10th was when I left. I went and decided that I wanted to travel the world, or just kind of travel, because I had always traveled previously in kind of school trips and vacations and stuff with my family, and just thought it would be amazing. And I, learned about kind of the secret and the power of thoughts and stuff. And I was like, okay, if I can do anything, what do I want to do? And I decided that traveling was definitely in my best interest. So I packed up my stuff. I literally gave everything that I owned away to, like, Salvation Army, like all of my clothes. I sold a bunch of my old stuff and just kind of took two backpacks and left on this journey. So I traveled around the States for several months. And that whole adventure can be, like, watched online. I probably don't need to go into all of the little details of everything. But eventually it came to – actually, I met the Atlantis King, Tyler, who's sitting next to me. And we started talking. I saw his videos on the Spirit Science Facebook, and I was like, I have to meet this guy. We should totally hang out. So I ended up getting a trip to Australia for super cheap, thanks to our lovely friend Tori. And that was wonderful, just like on a buddy pass thing. And I went to Australia for a month and lived in this beautiful Australian paradise. Mm. We had a wonderful time, and I convinced Tyler to come and travel. So we came back here, and now the group kind of also, Lily, who's Lion Patch, who's over there making food.
Hi.
And Tori is on the computer over here. We all kind of just kind of met online and like through the internet and came together in LA, and we're like, we're going to road trip.
I love the fact that the first video of yours is thoughts, and then that's when you learn that you can control your thoughts and anything's possible, that going traveling is really one of the first things that you can do. It's like you prove it to yourself when you quit your job and you sell your shit and you grab two bags of stuff and you just run around the world for a little while and you go, wow, all that ever matters is me and what I'm doing. So that's a really important lesson for some people to get, and some people have been inspired to do it just online, which is amazing. We hear emails from them around the world. And it's good to meet up with them as much as possible.
It is such an obvious truth that your thoughts would manifest your reality, but most people live life like they're victims of circumstance. I mean, me, for example, like, I hate my day job. But I mean, people have the attitude like, oh, how'd I get stuck here? Well, you applied for the job, you went on the interviews, you tried really hard to get it, and you drive yourself to work every day. But then they laugh when someone says you can do anything you put your energy into.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle, he actually has quit his job the first of the year. Congratulations to Kyle.
Yeah.
He ballsed up and did it.
Yeah, I would say that, Jordan, your work has been pretty much an inspiration. I've followed most of Spirit Quest and all of the Spirit Science videos, and it's changed my outlook on a lot of things. But actually, yeah, me and my wife both quit our jobs, and we've converted our entire grass backyard into a farm. And that's what we're doing right now, and we're selling all our goods and giving the rest to Salvation Army. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Where is that? We should come have a look.
Oh, it's in St. Louis. You guys can stop by any time. We have plenty of room here.
Where the hell is
St. Louis? By the banks.
It is in the middle of the country where no one wants to be.
Ah, we were just...
Except Kyle.
Colorado as well. We may be back there shortly.
Yeah, we were just in Colorado and Utah, and we're almost back. Yeah, I mean, we're almost back in L.A. now, but we're planning on definitely doing more traveling, so maybe we will be back around. We can even do a gathering out there and have lots of people kind of come out and just, you know, hang out and be the light for a little while.
He owns his home, so, I mean, you're willing to give it up for these type of events and stuff, right? Which is a great resource you have. You don't have any landlord that's going to come bang on the door because you got too many people hanging out.
No, I mean, the banks are after me. I mean, they will be eventually. Once
they're after everybody. Join the club.
Show up.
For the time being, it's the strategy to use.
Badass. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I was just going to say, one thing you mentioned in the Spirit Quest, and it's everyone's greatest fear, is money. And a lot of people would love to live out this kind of lifestyle, but they're just afraid that, you know, they're going to go broke and be living on the streets, which, you know, essentially that's what a nomadic lifestyle is. So what are you afraid of? But, I mean, you kind of hint on the fact that, you know, things have just kind of happened as they need to happen. But can you give some more detail on, like, how the universe is manifesting these things so that you don't hit these roadblocks?
Well, I mean, we pretty much don't have money, except when we do have money. And the way that we're functioning is that in order to gain something, it has to have space. You know, in order for a plant to grow, it has to have the space to grow. So when you've accumulated so much, you get stuffed. So when you start to let go of those things, then you're creating space, and then the new things you want will be able to come in. So every time we go broke, quote unquote, we pretty much just sit there and concentrate on what we want, like a specific amount of money for a specific thing we're trying to do, and then it comes. Because the universe isn't biased. It'll give you what you want, whether it's positive or negative. It's up to you to be very specific about it.
One of the nice things, or the one of the ways that we've kind of made some money in the last little while, was actually through crystals. We went to the Tucson Gem Show with the intention of getting some crystals, and we ended up getting this, like, for $50, we got this massive satchel of, or giant sack of rose quartz. So as we've been traveling around, we've been giving away rose quartz to, like, people that we meet, but we also went to, we had our own little spirit science gathering in Boulder. So when we were there, we were able to kind of sell some of the crystals and make a little extra money so that we were able to travel. I guess that's one of the specifics, but yeah, it's when you open up to allow things to flow, especially on the money aspect is kind of one of the things that I think a lot of people struggle with, just because when they get into the mindset that, you know, it's like you can do anything in kind of this spiritual path, they kind of think that money is this taboo subject. And it kind of becomes it just because that's what they create it to be. But, you know, in this current state of the world, unfortunately, you still need it. So you have to find ways to manifest it. But when you come to terms with that, you can usually find ways to make money relatively smoothly or harmonically with what it is that you're doing.
I like to say that money is what you need when you don't have faith. Yeah, that makes it really easy just to think. And then what was the other point that I had? It's gone.
I mean,
that's okay.
Anything you negative is going to be negative in your life. So if you're thinking of money as a negative thing, you're always going to have this rough relationship with it. If you, like, transmute money as a positive thing, as a tool to do good things, then your perception of it will change. And then you won't have such this bad relationship, like it's a bad boyfriend or girlfriend.
Right. So I think my personal problem is I have no problem with money, it's just the means of which I'm attaining it is such a negative atmosphere and such a it's something I don't want to do, which is, you know, most people's day job. But I see the money as a way to
to achieve more freedom. You know, I can now buy a kayak so I can walk it down to the bay on the days off. So, you know, obviously you get more resources that way, but I just, it's the job that I hate so much. But, you know, that's the paradigm that so many people are stuck with. And I mean, that's why I love watching the Spirit Quest, because, you know, it's kind of like living vicariously through people who have the balls to do what I don't. Just quit the day job.
You know, I think kind of as we're moving into this whole new paradigm of everything, I mean, money's slowly going to start to fizzle out. But in the meantime, I think it's, I mean, you were just saying you don't like doing what you're doing. And it's going to be up to either, you know, there's going to be people who are going to start new businesses and new jobs and new lifestyles that also kind of accumulate, bring in money. And it's kind of, I guess, a new way of doing business. But it's like fun, and, you know, you're just kind of living free and having fun and doing what you love and also bringing in goodness. And I think, it'll kind of be the same thing as if, you know, the people who start businesses in the modern world today and then the people who don't, then the other people will start to kind of come to those people and work for the businesses and then be kind of a community around doing whatever it is, whether it's some new type of Zen garden of awesome or I don't really have any ideas of it. Right. But you know what I'm talking about.
I think it's really important to keep reminding yourself that you don't have to do what the status quo says to make money. You know, as a human being, we have this awesome ability to bring, you know, things in the fourth, fifth, and sixth and blah, blah, blah dimensions down into the third. And I think visualizing, I mean, even drawing yourself, even if it's a stick figure of yourself surrounded by this new life you want, it's important to visualize that and know that you always have a way out. There is no such thing as being trapped.
You create the stuckness yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Yeah, it's like I completely accept that and I just, you know, live a hypocritical lifestyle. But I mean, that's what's given Kyle.
Why are you putting yourself in? You're supposed to be learning from that.
And what lesson will you glean?
And
exactly.
And how long will it take before you decide, wait, I'm going to go do something else that I want to do?
Right. I mean, that's kind of what this website and show is trying to transition into something that I actually enjoy doing. But, I mean, how many people do you think are out there that actually watch every Spirit Science and the Spirit Quest and are living the same kind of lifestyle? They still go to a 9-to-5 they're probably not passionate about. And it's because there's just this fear of completely detaching. And that's why I respect you guys and Kyle. I wanted to have him here because I think it's the thought that there's a change in paradigm that gave Kyle the strength to be able to walk away from the job, because, you know, like you just said, money is going to be changing the way we interact with money, and kind of the economic models we have are going to probably be changing. I mean, what do you guys expect out of 2012?
Ooh.
Awesome!
Ooh. A lot of change.
I'm going to manifest
a tail. She is lying, Patrick. Well, there's so many different aspects and layers and levels of discussing 2012. And I don't think that you can just say flat out, well, this is going to happen or this is going to happen, because it's a very dynamic thing and absolutely everyone is going to affect it. I think that things are going to keep moving faster and faster. Like, I don't know if, like for us, maybe it's, you know, it's accelerated because we're traveling and living in the way that we are and not kind of in this 9-to-5 ritual. But things have been speeding up monumentally, at least for us, and I can't say that's the same for everyone else. But
I agree. Does it feel like a sixth of the year is over already?
Is it?
I mean,
yeah.
There's only 12 months in a year. Two of them are done. It's a sixth year.
First quarter is done, or first quarter is we're in.
First sixth. I mean,
well, the humans. Whoopsie.
Whoa.
Time definitely feels like it's speeding up.
The humans, like, formula for time is going to be changed. Excuse me, I have food in my mouth.
Okay, well, while you chew, Jose, I don't know if you guys know anything about the dream spell calendar and Jose Arguelles, but he did, like, a lot of work on kind of this whole new paradigm of understanding time, and he kind of rewrote a calendar based on the lunar cycles. And there's a, you know, that is, like, a huge topic on its own. I actually don't know as it sounds like, but he did a lot of work on kind of trying to push this new calendar. And actually, I do want to look into this and possibly share it on Spirit Science too in an episode and be like, well, start kind of, maybe learning about this calendar and how it works, because it puts you on a cycle of time that is natural and harmonic to what the Earth experiences. So, for us, our way of tracking things, we have all these different leap years, and we're not in tune with the lunar cycles or even the solar cycles, really.
Well, and because of the leap year part, the Mayan calendar date that's supposed to be the 21st of December this year actually came up October of 2011.
Oh, that was that big day. There's also
I've heard that, but isn't the Mayan calendar tied to the precession of the equinox so that it doesn't really, it's going to come to fruition on December 21st, 2012 because that's the end of the cycle, so it doesn't really matter what the Gregorian calendar puts on it, or am I wrong?
Cardinal point.
Well, yes. The Gregorian calendar as well is also part of the same kind of program, and that's with the dream spell as well. Actually, this is something I learned recently, that when you take the dream spell calendar, because the solar calendar or the lunar the Mayan long count is the solar calendar. It kind of maps the sun and how the Earth works with the sun. And then the dream spell is the lunar calendar. So it kind of works with the lunar cycles of the moon. And when you're working with that, from what I've learned at least, is when you fractal down the dates with the lunar calendar, the end of the cycle ends on 12-12-12. So it's not 12-21-12. But that's just, another aspect of change, I guess. And all of these things are just windows too. Like the Mayans called this window that we're in right now the end of time, which says that this shift is going to happen sometime between 2007 and 2015. So you can't say that it's going to be December 21st or December 12th or October 28th or any of these dates, because it exists within a window.
End of time meaning end of time. We're not going to have time.
It's
not end of the world, but the end of time. Like, have you guys studied Terence McKenna's Time Wave? Time Wave Zero?
I have that book. I just got that book, and we're reading about it in 2012, The Return of Quetzalcoatl as well.
Nice.
Awesome.
The alignment with the using.
Well, one big part of spirit science is the whole idea of Christ consciousness. How do you guys see that manifesting? I mean, because that's supposed to be related in some way to 2012 or to this time period, correct?
Definitely. Ooh, do you want to start? I'll start.
Okay, I'm chewing a piece of cornbread.
When I was in Australia... I was with a very smart man that was supporting the rise of amateurism, and this is really we're coming from two different sides, but, everything that we try and do is support people to inspire people to go and start doing what they want to do. And the current system doesn't provide for that, so they can't walk into a job like you yourself. You're 9 to 5. Probably doesn't support, yourself spiritually or maybe emotionally and things like that.
Not at all.
So
mentally
exactly.
And physically, and they're not very stimulating.
So you got to get out there, and you got to make your own thing that suits you.
That's why I'm like, for real?
A book just manifested into our hands called The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness. And I want to steal it from our friend Demetrius so that we may read it.
Okay.
The genie will try not to kill you as long as it's returned.
Wonderful.
All right,
we'll read that and put that on an episode of Spirit Science. How's that? I forgot what I was talking about.
I forgot the question.
How do you see Christ consciousness manifesting? I mean, because you talk, and one of the, I think it's in the history movie, you talk about the grid, the Christ consciousness grid, activating. Can you elaborate on that?
Christ consciousness is not going to be something that people look up into the sky and see something and go, ooh, whoa, and then it's like, that's Christ consciousness, it's here, it's back. It's going to be something that's activated within the hearts of the individuals. Mm. And I think the change is going to be very, very internal. It's going to be in how people are thinking, how they understand reality, and how they go about their lives and how they interact with each other.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the Occupy movement is at all tied to
all of
the awakening?
All of it is, because we're just pushing further and further on the awareness front, and people are like continually talking about more and more things. And I mean, it's not starting. The big discussion is not right now. Christ consciousness and evolution of consciousness, although it's picking up in our communities, in the kind of modern society bubble that is still existing. People are still, they're talking about, the wealth gap and the how people are doing things in the world and the way that the social structure of things. And I think Thrive was really good for that, because Thrive talked all about the, not so much the evolution of consciousness, but the evolution of energy and how we are functioning as a society altogether. And that was really, I think that altogether with talking about sacred geometry is going to bridge a lot of gaps between people who are not spiritually interested. And then maybe if they see that, and then they'll learn about sacred geometry. And if they can see something in there new that they haven't seen before, that might get them to start looking further. Because the thing with sacred geometry is that it's not just like the flower of life. That's not just the pattern of creation, but that's the pattern of you. That like that is the biological pattern that you flow through geometrically. And if you work with the patterns and you work with sacred geometry, you can connect with the basic geometries of the universe and feel how they flow through your own being. And that is something very magical, I think.
And do you guys think that the, you know, let's say the 13 families or the global elite, do you think these people are knowledgeable in these areas? Or do you think they're stuck in a greed paradigm that just, you know, that's why they facilitate the kind of reality there?
I would say both. There's at the very, very, very tippy top, they're using, like, dark magic. So, like, I mean, I don't know if you've ever looked at kind of, like, occult stuff, but there's kind of two sides of where Freemasonry kind of went. And there's kind of this kind of exploration of the universe and equilibrium and balance and stability and stuff. And then there's kind of this other side that uses the pentagram to control and manipulate the electromagnetic fields and electromagnetic forces of things. And, you know, so I guess from my research, and there's, you know, this goes into all this like conspiracy theory stuff, but I would say that there's definitely some being like beings at the very top of the pyramid and in even in higher frequencies that are placing an influence on the course of us, of our growth. So, you know, they're doing that. And then kind of like one step down on that pyramid, it's this massive bubble of greed that is just surrounded by confusion, and they don't really know what they want, but they think it's, you know, all this money. And then that kind of trickles down into the systems of modern society. Mm. At least that's kind of what I feel it is. Do you have any thoughts, Tyler?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, I'm a lot more, like, I research a lot more into the conspiracy side and not so much into the New Age side or the New Age philosophy. But that's what I like about spirit science, is it does do a good job of blending both almost, because you definitely hint at the fact that, you know, NASA doesn't want us to know certain things that you're talking about in spirit science. And I think they're definitely relatable, but I just have a hard time because I'm not much of a meditator. Or I've never had an astral projection. I've had a psychedelic experience that was out of body, which was pretty life-changing. Yeah. But I haven't had a lot of the personal experiences to it. So it's a lot easier for me to look at, you know, something like the Council on Foreign Relations and see how they influence us rather than the internal or the spiritual side.
I recommend meditation, personally. If you're looking for spiritual experiences and kind of going deeper into yourself, meditation is a great place to start. And I would actually, we've been reading this book called Living in the Heart by Drunvalo Melchizedek. He also is the one who did the Flower of Life books.
It's amazing.
Right.
It is amazing, yeah.
You've got to read that book. It shows you exactly why and how you should meditate in this way, in the place that you intend to find. It gives you a whole paradigm and a system to work at.
It goes into a lot of, like, we're going to be doing a lot of episodes in spirit science about the heart, like the power of the heart and what is the heart, and you know, it everything kind of comes from the heart, and everyone thinks that, you know, your brain is your center, but it's not. And when you kind of move your consciousness into your heart, you can do absolutely magical things. And one of the most amazing things, I think, is that when there's a sacred space of the heart, and there's a space within the heart that if science tried to poke a needle into or something or touch, they would die. And you die instantly from touching the space, but you can move your consciousness into this space. And through doing this meditation that Drunvalo provides, you can kind of access this internal world of yourself in your own heart that you can kind of do and create and be anything you want. So you can exist in nature, like Drunvalo described it as he discovered a cave. He went into his heart space and he discovered this cave world where and there was kind of these pictures on the world, pictures on the wall of these memories and stuff, and then there was like this fountain and all this water that was shooting out, and the more that he kind of went into the space and explored it, he discovered kind of a surface world of like this entire kind of planet that he kind of that existed within his own heart. So it's kind of a reflection of, you know, if you are consciousness, you are God, then the entire world externally is also mirrored internally, and you have an entire world internally that you can also exist within. So we've been kind of doing this meditation on and off because we've just been traveling around and stuff, but I've experienced personally some really just kind of powerful, I guess, emotions and kind of going into the space, and everyone experiences it differently. But so I'm still working with it personally. I think Tyler's also had some really intense experiences as well. But yeah, it's really, really mind-blowing and really interesting to kind of even think about.
I think if you're really deeply going into finding out stuff that's happening overseas, you know, problems in the world, things that bankers are doing wrong to you, it's going to bring up all these feelings of deceit and cunning. And, you know, it's funding more energy into the spheres that you don't want to live anymore. So going into the heart and going into the self focuses the energy in the place that you do want everything to come from. So right at its very base, it's... you know, you can see where the results are going to show up.
Absolutely,
that's fair. Do you now, when you guys meditate, are you doing it to the point of out of body experience?
That's one aim, and we travel with some people that experience them quite regularly. But honestly, we've been recently just plugging away at this audio tape that we got with Jungle from the book Living in the Heart, and then follow the heart meditation, go straight into the heart, and then feel that sacred space. And there's a couple other audiobooks and things like that that Jordan's got on his iPad that that talks about third eye meditation, and you really good stuff as well. We're going to do spirit science episodes and all of this stuff.
Now, have you guys done, because it's not, I don't think it's ever mentioned in spirit science, but have you had any psychedelic experiences?
Yeah, that's a touchy subject.
What? Why is it touchy? Isn't it? I mean, it's really just a tool. It's kind of like I have friends who do meditation, and I've done the psychedelic method, and they equate it to they wade into a pool, whereas the psychedelic is just jumping off a diving board straight in. You know, you're going to experience something strange, but you might not have the training necessary to bring it into your everyday life.
Well, absolutely. I think, me personally, because, you know, you can, when you come to the psychedelic experience, you can only talk with someone about what it is with them personally. So I think it's ridiculous that you could ever place rules or, you know, dogma on this and say to someone that you can't have a personal, like, integral experience. But for me, what happens is something that happens that you have to practice, something that you get better at. It's like a taxi takes you to a place, and then you can figure out how to get there alone. But, you know, taking the taxi, you also see other things in the way, and you get different... you're in a different space. You're sitting in a seat rather than walking, so you've got time to think about some stuff. You know, it's a different experience. It's a wonderful experience, and I like it, and I'll do it until I see that there is no more benefit there. How do you guys feel?
Well, I mean, for Tori and I, we don't necessarily need psychedelics because most females, you know, the female vessel is already plugged in. In certain aspects, it's good when you're trying to communicate with that specific spirit, like ayahuasca, the spirit is in that plant is the Mama Earth. So when you're trying to better connect with her in doing ayahuasca, you know, it'll be much more clear communication than if you're doing it on your own, if you're not clear yourself. So, like,
right.
If you have all this baggage and your mind is overtaking you more so than your heart, you know, doing these medicines is a good way to get that taste for it. But when you're doing these medicines, you're cutting off the human part of your brain. So transferring those lessons that you gained in your spirit part of your mind into your human part of your mind is going to be kind of difficult. So I do urge people who do medicines and things like that to, after or during your experience, you know, write it down if you can. I mean, some of the times that I've done medicines, I can't move. And then after...
Wow.
Yeah. Well, because people like me were already so plugged in that the experience, like, is just...
Overkill?
Yeah. Like, I'm overloading my motherboard. Because I walk down the street and I see stuff already. But
and how do you think you developed yourself to that level?
I didn't. I came through like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. But what I am, I already came through the veil with all of my stuff. Not all of it, but a lot of it. So I can tap in pretty easy. Luckily for me, the environment I grew up in, I was able to function in society and utilize my quote-unquote gifts. But all that's being a lot more accepted now in society, so...
Right.
People.
How would you,
sorry?
Well, how would you suggest someone who doesn't have a lot of experience or is looking for validation through a personal experience of, say, you know, communicating with a higher self or with some spirit guide or whatever term you want to use? Like, how do you think is the best method of going about that? Meditation?
Well, you start off with not having a specific idea of how that's supposed to happen because everyone plugs in differently. Some people are more similar than others, but I feel like a lot of people who aren't having these experiences is because they expect it to be this specific way. And a lot of these things that they're experiencing naturally, I mean, even like the sensation of eating, that is a form of communicating with spirit. You know, you're ingesting a part of spirit. And if you can listen to the food as it's entering in your mouth, you're going to hear it.
The essence of the food.
Mm. Like, everything in this world is communicating and is like, quote-unquote, a psychedelic experience. We've just been trained not to see it.
You have a green thing glowing on your shoulder.
Word.
I heard a really good thing in the seventh, third eye activation book that I told you about before. If you're mm-hmm. expecting that a deity, like, you're trying to imagine how one would come to you or how an angel would come and be with you and share its insights with you, if that ever happens after you've had that kind of grounding for it, there's the possibility that you think it's a creation of the mind because you wanted it to happen and then you just kept on excelling through your meditative states. So really the best thing to do is just to do it for yourself, like the meditative process, and then if it happens, then it was meant to happen. But to expect it to happen is it's like asking the universe to change their plans, because there's a time for everything, and really you just got to let it be as it is, and that's a lesson you can take into much larger life as well.
And also, I don't think people need to be asking, well, some people do, but don't ask your guides and external things to show themselves and things like that. Ask yourself to see them. Like, literally, be like, hey, Lily, can we go experience this and see these beings? You know, first you have to create a healthy relationship with yourself and this human vessel. Like, you've got to work with the vessel in order to experience other things. So asking yourself, I think, is a good first step, too.
Yeah.
Seems like the answers to a lot of the questions are simply to just do it yourself, to actually try and get the experience. And the Atlantis King mentioned something about amateurism earlier, and this is a theory that I've had, is that this shift has to do with the amateur and the expert, that distinction collapsing.
Yeah.
And when someone
becomes an expert, now anyone can be, it's horizontal footing we're all on. There's no more hierarchy.
Yeah.
Yes, well said.
That's an interesting idea.
Yay.
I mean, the internet does a lot of that because you've got people who are popping up with all their own websites, and you're not going to MSNBC for expert news if you're going to alternative websites. And yeah, that kind of contributes to the breaking down of that paradigm also.
Exactly.
I mean, we're all masters. That's the thing.
The other thing, though, is that we're all students and we're all teachers.
Right.
As much as we're all masters as well of whatever it is that we know and ourselves. maybe that's the key, is masters of yourself. But in terms of communicating with others and kind of learning and teaching and sharing, you can't expect any one person to give you all the answers because you have to look within. But you can also share everything that you know with others as much as you can learn from everyone else. I think that was in the Celestine Prophecy where it was like saying how absolutely every person that you meet has something for you to learn from them. And when you confront just everyone, when you go about your day with that understanding, you learn so much more.
And also, Thoth said, in your wisdom, he's talking about the people that are on their enlightened path, in your wisdom, don't feel pride when someone comes to you with their wisdom, which, you know, you may feel is less than yours, because wisdom is all, and all knowledge is the same and connected, and it's all a process and a path. And someone may say something which you find, you know, judgment against, but they may have other parts of themselves which are much higher than you in other areas, because everyone's ignorant on some level. So you just really got to find your path and not worry about the rest of them.
I think also changing the way you say things, like when people come to me for advice or for therapy sessions, I always thank them for like trusting me and having that sense of gratitude that they are coming to me. Gratitude and pride can sometimes be a fine line. And feeling humbled in that, you know, while these people are coming to me for information, which means I'm going to be used as a vessel for Source to speak through. You know, that's... And then when you move into that space, you start to flow more, and you will see more and experience more and experience all entities and things like that.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, I really just haven't done the work. I've done the research, but I haven't done the personal work. It's like, I've seen 4 seasons of Cake Boss, but I wonder why my spiritual development is lacking.
as much as this is like an external learning, it's also a very powerful internal learning. And if you only are doing half of that work, then you're only getting half of the experience, and that's, I guess, you know, male and female balance. It's external as well as it is internal. So you have to go within if you want to accelerate and move forward. At some point, everyone will probably hit that wall.
Yeah, and I mean, you still have time. You know, if you want to go off into the world, there's still time to go back to your space you've created. Like, the job will always be there, you know.
Unless you quit it.
Well, even if you
make
quit,
a new one.
No, but if you quit it, and you go out into the world, the likelihood of you coming back and finding the same kind of job is high.
If
you
desire that.
Right.
But when you come back, you might not want that anymore.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that the fear is...
You probably never wanted it, really.
In the verse of, yeah.
Right.
This is an awesome interview.
Hey!
I love it as a group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's great. I appreciate you guys coming out and doing this, taking the time out of your day,
absolutely,
out of your road trip. Kyle, do you have any questions for them before they go?
I don't have any further questions. I just want to say thank you so much. You guys are doing a great job, and much love and energy towards you, and I hope everything is fortunate in your journeys.
Astral hug!
Namaste.
Hey, you. Namaste.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing more work from you guys. If you guys are ever in San Diego, look me up. If you're in St. Louis, look Kyle up.
Yeah, we'll come to San Diego.
We're near.
Yeah,
it's 2 hours south of L.A.?
Oh, we're going south.
Yeah, it's 2 hours south of L.A.
Beautiful.
Can we stay with you? It's,
yeah, of course. I live with my girlfriend, our dog, and our cat, and yeah.
Yay.
Kyle was actually, him and his wife were supposed to come out here and stay with us. So yeah, I mean, we're definitely open to like-minded people coming
yeah,
down.
Yeah, I mean, most of us are rooting in LA for a hot second, so we'll talk.
Of course. Well, if your travel ever brings you down here, look me up.
Absolutely. Cool. It may be in the next few days.
Sure. I'll see if I can clear my work schedule.
Oh, and if we could leave you with one more thing, something I think
we
learned recently was to bless your food before you eat it. It doesn't have to be that you're like, amen and God, thank you for all this stuff. Just, like,
thank
we did
the
one.
Food.
Thank Mother Earth, yeah. Thank the food for providing the.
Yeah.
Well,
what we did recently was, like, we really held hands around the food, and sometimes, like, someone will find something to say, and then that'll be where the energy shifts to, but it's. We had one recently, it was just quiet, and then at the end we just said thank you, and that was perfect. And you really notice that you feel the essence of the food, and you feel how much better you are afterwards. It's, you know, it's adding amazing amounts of nutrients.
Thanking your environment.
Can you get people to do that in McDonald's? Like, put up signs around all of the
time. Please thank your food when you're done, or start eating it.
I mean,
it.
Those cows are going through so much.
Yeah. Or the Atlantis King will come and get you. You know, oh, no.
It's a picture of you with, like, the threatening...
Right.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, hey, thanks a lot. I guess I'll let you guys go.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Namaste again.
Namaste.
Hey, of course. Keep your Merkava strong, guys.
Absolutely. See you soon.